getting a divorce, even thinking about getting a divorce, can be overwhelming, scary, and sometimes exciting. Join divorce coach and mediator Mandy Walker for conversations about divorce. The more you know, the easier it will be to make your divorce healthier, less stressful, and to put it behind you. Here's Mandy.
Welcome to Conversations About Divorce. I'm Mandy Walker, and today we're talking about when marriages fall apart suddenly. And I think most of us have known someone whose spouse suddenly said, that's it, I'm out of here, and there's no apparent warning, and boom, the marriage was over. It's hard to believe that that happens. I think our natural tendency is to think, well, surely there must have been some warning signs. And you hear, no, I had no idea anything was wrong. And then you think, how could two people living in the same house have such vastly different assessments of the same marriage? How can that be possible? And I think some of that questioning comes from our own subconscious need to reassure ourselves that it couldn't happen to our relationships, that there isn't something that we're missing. But some marriages absolutely do indeed end suddenly. And here to help us understand more about this is expert in the field, Vicki Stark. Vicki is a psychotherapist and author. Her most recent book is Planet Heartbreak, Abandoned Wives Tell Their Stories. Welcome, Vicki.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here, Mandy.
So, Vicki, you coined the phrase wife abandonment syndrome. So could you share with our listeners how you would describe that?
Sure. And I think it's so interesting in your introduction when you talk about how some marriages fall apart so suddenly, and people sort of scratch their heads and say, that's not possible. They must have had an inkling. They must have known that something was wrong. Or that it takes two to tango, you know, that very often people are skeptical. But I'm a marriage counselor and a psychotherapist and had been for 25 years at the point that my darling husband of 21 years tapped me on the shoulder and said, that's it, I'm out of here, I'm not going to do this anymore. And so I always like to say to people, if I, with my experience dealing with divorce and being a marriage counselor, was unable to see any signs that he was planning this exit from our marriage, then it's true. You know, people really can leave suddenly from a very secure long-term relationship, and even, Mandy, even more remarkably, from relationships that people experience as being a happy marriage.
Yes.
It's not only marriages that seem flat or that seem, you know, that they're struggling or there's fighting, but, you know, for many of the people that I've worked with over the past 10 years, they really believe themselves to be in a secure and happy marriage. So after all this happened to me 10 years ago, I started researching what happens when men leave suddenly from relationships. And I was very shocked to see that there are many, many other women to whom almost the eerily identical thing had happened.
Wow.
And I studied this phenomenon, and I came up with the 10 hallmarks of wife abandonment syndrome. I coined the term wife abandonment syndrome.
Right.
And I call it a syndrome because the behavior on the part of the husband who leaves is so similar that it seems to sort of all fit together into a pattern that we see over and over and over again.
Okay, well, hopefully we'll get to talk to some about some of those patterns. But I wanted to ask you, so does this only happen to women? Do women do this too?
No, definitely women also leave suddenly from relationships. There's no question about that. And I often hear from men who say, hey, come on, you know, my wife did that to me. And initially, when I started researching this topic, and then I eventually wrote the book Runaway Husbands, I initially was going to write the book Runaway Spouses, because I was researching women who leave as well as men. But the difference is that for the men who leave, there is this very distinct pattern. And for the women who leave, I couldn't really locate any particular pattern. It was a very different kind of thing, that women leave for all sorts of reasons. And they do it in all sorts of ways.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, definitely women do leave suddenly from marriages, but it's just not in this very clear behavioral pattern.
Okay. Well, and how common is it?
Well, you know, I mean, you mentioned that, yeah, we all probably know somebody, my aunt or somebody in my office or my cousin or, we've all heard of somebody. I've heard from women all over the world, literally. And I think that it's not the majority, clearly not the majority of divorces, but it's a pretty common phenomenon. And it often, the majority of people to whom this happens are people in their, 50s and 60s, late 40s, 50s and 60s, and often when there's been a very long-term marriage.
So that must make it incredibly difficult to deal with. I mean, divorce is breaking up, ending a marriage is really hard. But I think when you have the opportunity to at least talk about it, even if it's in anger and with pain, you get the chance to process some of your emotions with the person that's causing this or is connected with you. When somebody just walks out and leaves, and I'm assuming that that's what we're talking about, is that it's over, it's gone, there's no discussion. Doesn't that make the whole process much, much harder?
Yeah, I mean, you're so right, Mandy. And what happens in wife abandonment syndrome is that, and this is what happened to me, is that very often the husband really just leaves. Sometimes he's already left at the time he tells his wife. Like, she goes off to work, and she comes home from work, and there's a note on the television that says, "I'm leaving you, it's over." Sometimes it's there's a letter on the kitchen counter. But very often it's within the first day or 2-3 days or a week, and the husband is really not interested in talking about anything. And then sometimes it sort of drags on and on and on. But it's truly a clinically traumatic occurrence.
Absolutely.
And your life is changed, on a dime, whether it's an automobile accident or a heart attack or whatever. When something happens very dramatically like that, and you don't have the opportunity to process it emotionally because you didn't see it coming. And so that the women who have experienced wife abandonment syndrome, they often are profoundly distressed. Typically, like myself, I lost 30 pounds. I stopped eating. A lot of them lose a tremendous amount of weight. They're not sleeping. They're very, very distressed. And it takes a long time to recover from. And what happens is that people say, oh, yeah, everyone gets divorced. What's the big deal? Why it's a year now. Why aren't you getting your life together? But this is not a typical divorce, because it's not only the loss of love, but it's also the loss of your identity and the loss of your future. And remarkably, in wife abandonment syndrome, it's also the loss of your past.
Right.
Well, and what I mean by that is that, when the husbands leave, that they often then sort of diminish everything that came before, and they say, well, I was never happy, and that trip we took to California, it really wasn't fun, and I wasn't having a good time. And the wife is like, what are you talking about? We had a great time in California.
Right.
So it's just like the world becomes unrecognizable.
Right. So, it really is falling off a cliff, because there's no transition, there's no gradual transition, there's no gradual getting used to it. So I'm curious, obviously, the emotional process then is traumatic. What happens with the legal process? Do the in your research, is it the husband usually then initiates the legal process, and does that happen quite quickly? Does that make it more difficult to get through the legal process?
I didn't really study the legal process, but just sort of anecdotally, because I've heard from so many women, I think that sometimes it's the wife who initiates the legal process, and sometimes the husband just wants to tie this all up as quickly as possible and get out of there. And so that one thing that I should comment on is the fact that in 99% of cases of wife abandonment syndrome, there's another woman on the scene. So that, you know, sometimes, and the husband who leaves, like in my case, my husband left and moved in directly with the other woman. And so that in very, sometimes the husbands are very keen to sort of wrap up the marriage because he's got somebody waiting for him to move on to a subsequent marriage.
So that makes it even harder.
Oh, yeah.
Then you're dealing with the infidelity and rejection on top of the loss of everything else.
Yeah.
And I do usually like to tell my clients, you know, unless there's an urgency to the legal process, to hold off on that and kind of give yourselves some distance, some time to adjust and let the emotions, allow you time to process the emotions, because that's going to make working through the legalities that much easier. But it sounds like in these cases, that sudden departure can often be followed very quickly with an expectation that the legal process be followed through very rapidly.
Yeah, I mean, definitely that is the case. And, you know, sometimes, you know, people are women are keen to get the legal process going because they feel that the husband at that moment has a little tiny bit of guilt. And so they want to get the legal process going while he's still in sort of a bit of a guilty phase.
Right. Interesting. So a good negotiation tactic there.
That's it.
So is there in your research, did you find that there was a particular milestone that becomes the tipping point, such as, you know, the youngest child going to college? Is it a particular time of year or a particular wedding anniversary?
Yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah, I mean, one of the really surprising things, you know, that has to do with this pattern is that the majority of the marriages end in October, November, December, around the holidays. And, you know, I don't really know why. I can speculate, but I don't really know why. But really, what I've identified is that very often men get to a certain point in their lives and they look around and they say, is this all there is? And they say, I've been a good husband, I've been a good father, I've been a good son, I've been a good provider, I've been a good boy, I've been a good worker. When do I get to be James Bond? And they, you know, and they look ahead and maybe their father died or, you know, a friend has had a heart attack or something, or they've had a health scare and they feel like the time is running out and they're going to just grab at whatever excitement or happiness that they could, that they can get their hands on. And then some younger woman at the office sort of looks at them and talks to them and he gets somebody's attention and he feels like, I can't pass this up. This is too good to be true. And so I think it has to do not so much with the marriage. And often this is very reassuring for the women. It doesn't have that much to do with the marriage. It has more to do with a crisis, an identity crisis. And, you know, you could call it a midlife crisis that some men have at a certain point.
Right.
And that makes it more likely for them to sort of walk away from the marriage. I mean, I think for women, you know, very often women get married for the husband, but they also get married for the marriage. They get married for the home and the children and the scene and the dinner parties and the whole scene. And men often get married for the wife. They're not so dreaming about having children and, you know, not to say that men don't love their children, but that men are more, their eye is more on the wife. The wife is like the primary reason to get married.
Interesting.
And so that when men leave in midlife, the women feel like, how could you give up our traveling and our retirement and our grandchildren and all of that? And for the men, it's really not all that hard because it was more her thing than it is his.
Okay, so it's not about that.
It's not about that for them, right? And
right.
As long as there's another woman to fill her shoes, then he can sort of forego that whole structure.
Right. Well, let me. I know that you've identified 7 warning signs, and I want to talk about those. But first, let me just remind our listeners that I'm Mandy Walker. This is Conversations About Divorce, and today we're talking about when marriages suddenly end. My guest today is Vicky Stark. Vicky is a psychotherapist and author. Her most recent book is Planet Heartbreak, Abandoned Wives Tell Their Stories. Vicky, would you like to share with our listeners a little bit more about your book and your work?
Sure, sure. Well, I'm a family therapist, and I've developed this community that's called the Runaway Husband Community. You can locate it on the web at runawayhusbands.com. That's plural, runawayhusbands.com. And women from all over the world come to the website and communicate with each other. There's a lot of information there. We have a variety of activities like retreats that take place throughout the year. And it's a place where women can get support because very often women feel very alone. Out of this work grew my first book on this topic, which is called Runaway Husbands. And my latest book, which I edited, which is called Planet Heartbreak, it's a compilation of 62 stories written by women whose husbands have left out of the blue. And it's very moving, it's very true, and in some cases very funny. And the women tell their stories about what they went through when their husbands left. So it's a very interesting book, and it's sort of the companion volume to Runaway Husband. Mm.
Well, both of those and your website, runawayhusbands.com, sounds like tremendous resources for somebody whose husband does leave suddenly, because I just as you were talking, I was thinking, I'm thinking for some people there would be a lot of shame and embarrassment associated with that, because all of a sudden all of your friends and your community, it's like, what happened to your husband? And having to explain what happened can make you feel really vulnerable. So finding a community online where you can connect with other people who've had the similar experience, I think would really help people heal from this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's so true. I mean, a lot of times when people come to the website, they say two things. They say, they sort of Google it in the middle of the night. They put into Google, my husband left me or something, and they locate the website. And then they're so relieved. And then often they email me and they say two things. They say, I can't believe now I don't feel so alone. And I can't believe now I don't feel crazy. Because they felt like, I must be crazy. How did I miss a sign? How was that possible? You know? And now they realize that it's really not that much about them.
Yes.
It's more about the husband.
Yes. Vicky, you, as I was saying before the break, even though people say that they had no warning that this was going to happen, from your research, you have identified 7 warning signs. I'm wondering, what do you see as being the most common or the most prevalent warning sign?
Right. Number one is that if he's had affairs in the past or if he's left previous relationships in a similar way, even if you're the one for whom he left his last wife, that's the strongest predictor that he has what it takes to do it again. Second one is that if he seems uncharacteristically unhappy with his life, and often, sometimes the guys are complaining about their work, and they're just complaining, and it seems it's untypical. It's not the way he typically is. The third one is, do you notice a personality change? Does he just not seem himself? Is he withdrawn or suddenly irritable? Is he snapping at the children or not wanting to participate in family activities? The fourth one is, are his habits changing? Is he suddenly going to the gym, all of those stereotypical things, buying a flashy car, dyeing his hair, getting a tattoo, those kinds of things is the fourth. And number five is, do his values seem to be in flux? Is he adopting ideas that he used to belittle or belittling things that he used to value? And, you know, the hidden thing in this is that he's now under the influence of somebody else, the woman, right, in his, the other woman in his life. And so he's sort of altering things that, you know, the women say, I can't believe that he's now doing this thing that he used to laugh at, that kind of thing. And then, you know, number six is he taking business trips or disappearing for periods of time? And he seems unaccounted for. And number seven is, has he started to frequently mention a woman at work in sort of a random kind of benign kind of way?
Right.
And very often, you know, that's the kind of thing that, that might be a sign.
So as I...
one of those things, doesn't mean that he's definitely going to run away or have an affair. But if you put a number of them together, you know, sometimes it can indicate.
Right. And I think when I was doing my interviews on my blog, a lot of the people that I talked about with hindsight said when they look back at their relationship, they can pinpoint these things that were happening that they didn't notice at the time. So they didn't necessarily experience the sudden leaving or the sudden departure that you mentioned. So I have a question. Why do some people have to do it that way? Is there a particular personality trait?
Yeah, that's also another great question, which is that, these are very often people say to me, oh, we had this great marriage and we never fought. And so that these are husbands that are conflict avoiders. They're not going to fight with you. They're going to avoid conflict. And so the guy is, he may have gone through a period of time, a number of months or even years, where he's making up his mind, but he's not going to share it with you because he really doesn't want to work on the marriage. That's not what he wants. He just wants out. But he's waiting and biding his time until it really makes sense to him. And then when he's made his decision, he wants to go as quickly as possible. Because the last thing he wants is a crying, screaming, angry wife. He doesn't want to have that discussion with her. So he just has to get out of there, and he's very conflict avoidant. So he just want to get out of there as quickly as he can.
So it's interesting. As I was doing the prep for the show, and thought about personality traits. I was thinking, you know, it does seem like it would be somebody who is very, very uncomfortable with conflict and handling disagreement.
Yeah, definitely.
So do they ever reconsider, ever change their minds?
That's the $64,000 that everybody's really, really interested to know. You know, I've spoken to thousands of women, and the percentage of men who reconsider and who come back and who want to reengage in the marriage is very, very, very low. In this particular kind of divorce, wife abandonment syndrome, in order to make it palatable for them to leave, they have to devalue the wife in their own minds, not only to her, but in their own minds, and they have to devalue the marriage. That's one of the hallmarks of wife abandonment syndrome. He has to sort of, by the time he decides to leave, he's built a case for himself about how this marriage is not valuable and never was valuable. And I think it's very hard for men to return after having created that case. Not only does he sell that case to the wife, but that he sold it to himself.
Right. Right. And he's convinced himself that this is the only way forward because that's the only way that he can do this.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
So when somebody comes to you and their spouse has suddenly left them and they're devastated, how do you advise them on, or what's your number one recommendation for getting through this?
Yeah, I mean, in the book, Runaway Husbands, I have the 7 steps for moving forward. When people come to me, and I work with people a lot, you know, sometimes face-to-face, but more often through Skype, because my clients are international. The one thing I say to them is that no matter how miserable they are at the moment, they're not always going to feel that badly. So when they come to me, they're in really emotional agony. They're in terrible emotional pain. It's hard for them to know that they will ever heal. But mm-hmm. not only can they heal, but a lot of the women that I work with are able to turn this crisis into an opportunity, where now suddenly they go back to school, or they learn a new career, or they sort of take their lives in their hands, and they find out that they're much more capable and competent being alone than they ever imagined. But in order to move forward for somebody who's really devastated, very quickly the 7 steps are: recognize that the chaos won't last forever. Number 2 is accept that it's really over, and that's a hard one.
Yes.
Number 3, to integrate the fact that the husband has changed irrevocably.
Right.
And he's beyond caring for her welfare.
Right.
Because they keep trying to get that old husband back, but he's gone.
Right.
And then number 4 is to understand why he needs to justify his actions in any way possible, including rewriting history, lying, or attacking you. Number 5 is to give up the acknowledgement and apology you deserve. And number 6, turn your focus from the past to the future. And number 7 is, you know, to celebrate your life as a single person, to be able to accept that.
Hmm.
And, you know, in the early days, it's hard for a woman to recognize that she could ever get there. But eventually, many of the women that I work with do.
So do you ever talk to people about how, even though their husband has devalued the marriage, their perception of the marriage can still be one of a valuable relationship that brought them joy and pleasure, and, you know, and certainly is not a waste of time?
Right. And I think it's important for the women to trust their lived experience. He could say, we were never happy, and I never loved you, and the marriage was miserable. But her lived experience could be that, no, we were happy, and I know you loved me. And the marriage, you know, maybe had its ups and downs, but it wasn't miserable. And I think it's very important for her not to buy whatever it is that he might be selling, you know, whatever he's saying to her, and to really trust her own experience of what happened. And that's a really important step in the healing, is for her to listen to her own voice, to make her own voice louder than the voice of the husband who left.
Right. So, Vicky, we're almost up on time here. Do you have one more tip for somebody on how to recover from this? Or another tip?
The important thing is, sure, is, you know, really to recognize that anything in life, no matter how challenging it is, can be, we can use that as a chance to improve our lives and to grow. And that as difficult as this is for a husband to run away, it can be an opportunity. And that if any women who are listening have experienced this or know someone who's experienced it, that we welcome them into our community. You know, they should go to runawayhusbands.com, and they're going to find a tremendous resource that will help them get through this.
Right, right. Well, thank you so much, Vicky, for joining us today. It's been a pleasure and very interesting talking to you.
It's been great talking with you, Mandy.
Listeners, if you are thinking of leaving your spouse suddenly without a dialogue, I'm going to urge you to reconsider that. I'm not saying don't end your marriage. I'm just saying that you could do this with more compassion, more respect. You could be kinder, and it could produce a better outcome for everyone. So do please seek professional help before you do this. For the listeners, if you are the one who's been abandoned, do make use of Vicky's resources. Don't let this event define you. How your spouse chose to behave is more about their stuff, their baggage, than yours. And if you don't know why they left this way, don't second guess yourself, because I think you could drive yourself crazy trying to figure it out. And chances are you'll be wrong. Strive instead to just accept that it's gone and focus on rediscovering yourself, because you can get through this. And as Vicky says, there are better things still to come. I'm convinced of that. Now, if you're wondering if divorce is the answer, I have a free course that will help you. You can go to my blog and you'll see it in the sidebar, and I'll put the link for that in the show description too. I want to thank you for listening today. I'm Mandy Walker. This is Conversations About Divorce, and I hope you'll join us again soon for more conversations about divorce.